Tach, I'll put everyone on mute. I'm putting everyone here on mute. Okay, you all on mute. Pasuk Zayin, the pasuk says, Tachas Oven, Reisi Achalei Chushon, Yir Gizun, Yirios Eretz Midyan. Okay, we learned yesterday the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David taught us that this pasuk discussed is describing our entry into Eretz Yisrael. And the Goyim, the Umay Soilam, they were guilty of Averos. They did not conduct themselves in a proper ethical way. Okay, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has punished them, he caused them to tremble, and he caused the Urios of Midian to tremble. Now let's see over here in the Rashi a little more detail. Pasuk Zayin Tachas Oven. Shenimsa, now he Rashi learns here, Roisi Tachas Oven Shenimsa Bi Yisrael. Okay, I'm not sure I explained the Mitzvahs correctly. We'll have to come back to the Mitzvahs in a few moments, but let's look at Rashi. Rashi says that because of the sins that were found in the Jewish people, Roisi Ale Chushan Shaimdim Begolui Umechablim Es Yisrael. I have seen the tents of Chushan Rishosayim originally tormented the Jewish people. Question: are we describing the torment of Chushan Rishosayim, or are we describing the defeat of Chushan Rishosayim? According to Rashi, Rashi here is describing a period of time, a dark period in Jewish history, when the Jewish people were guilty of sin. They did not appreciate the sanctity of the land. They did not conduct themselves in the proper way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Chushan Rishosayim to afflict, to cause harm to the Jewish people. So Tachas Haven Shanimsa Bi Yisrael, Reisi, I've seen Ohalei Chushan, Sho'imdim Begolui, the tents of Chushan. A tent is something which is exposed. A tent is something which is, you're not afraid. You not set up a tent in an area that you're vulnerable to becoming under attack. Sho'imdim Begolui, Umechablim Es Yisrael, they put up their tents out in public and they would cause harm to the Jewish people. Uvi his kanom lifonecha, and when Klal Yisrael did teshuva, they humbled themselves before you, Hashem. Then Yirgizun Yirios Midyan. Then Hakol Ki Targumai. Everything is follows the Targum. So let's read the Targum. Targum pasuk Zayin Kad. The Targum says, when the Jewish people, they worshipped idols. Tavasa means an error. Targum always translates Avodah Zarah as an object of error. When they worshipped Avodah Zarah, then misartinun biyad kushan chayovo. The Jewish people were delivered into the hands of this evil man called Chushan chayovo, means the evil one. The Chad went tavu when they did teshuvah lemebad oiraisa to fulfill what it says in the Torah. Then avodis lehoin nisin, Hashem did with them, with the Jewish people, miracles ugivuron, mighty things ufirak tinun, and Hashem redeemed them miyad. Midyonoe from the Midyonim al yidei Gidoin bar Yoyosh. Through Gidoin, he was one of the Shoftim. Hashem redeemed Klal Yisrael through Gidoin. Okay, so this is the way Rashi learns, and the Mitzudos. We'll come back to the Mitzudos in one moment. Let's first clarify the basic story. The basic story over here is that Klal Yisrael, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were misbehaving. They were worshiping idols. They were not moral. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered them into the hands of this evil man, Chushan Rishosayim. And when Klal Yisrael later, this is all in Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, and when Klal Yisrael later did Teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that we would have a Shofet by the name of Gidoin, and Gidoin would come to save us from our enemies, namely from the Midyanim, and Hashem did for Gidoin great miracles in his battles. This is the way Rashi learns. Rashi basically tells us to follow the parish of the Targum. Okay, now Let's just go back for one moment to the parish of the Mitzudas David. If we look in the Mitzudas David, it's Paragimel, Pasuk Zayin, Tachas Oven, Bavur Ho Oven, Reisi Ohalei Chushon, Rishosayin, that was his name, Oimdim Be'artzois Yisrael, Limshol Bohem to rule over the Jewish people, Kamaloi Loimi Koitsa Yod Lo Yeshia Lomoi, Ki Imbigmul Ho Oven. So Rashi, I don't think I explained the Mitzudas David correctly yesterday. It's saying the same thing as what Rashi of the Targum was saying, that because of the sins here are the sins of Klali Yisrael. Because of their sins, Hashem delivered his nation in the hand of our enemies. And when we did Teshuva, Yirguzun, Yirios, Eretz, Midyan, Ritzen, Lemar, Ki Haloi Bikorum Elov, when we called out to Hashem in prayer, then Yirgizun Yirios Eretz Midyan V'zehu b'mei Gidoin Shabba b'neihem Charadov V'horguez Zezek Zekmosh Nema B'sheftim. The Gidoinim, they were terrified, and they killed one another amongst themselves. There was a friendly fire. Friendly fire, and they were wiped out amongst themselves. Okay, so this is the basic pshat in the pasuk. Now let's take a look at the Radak. Radak, pasuk Zayin. I gotta put this up for you on the screen. Okay, I have here problems with the internet. I fill around with it almost every day for 10 minutes. I don't know why, I just can't get it to work. Just get it to work straight. Let's put over here on the screen picture of the Radak. Okay, I'm putting up now on the screen the Radak and Pasuk Zayin. Okay, here it is. Okay, hopefully you can see this. Tachas oven. Okay, tachas oven. Tachas oven in the Radak. Hizkir Ata, the pasuk now is coming to mention. Okay, I hope you can see that it's towards the bottom of the it's towards the bottom. It's not that much. Tachas oven hiskir ato gevurois she'asolanu b'milchamois chushan reshosayim al yideos nil ben kenaz uvimulchemes gidoin in midyon and the milcham of gidoin against midyon. All of this is in sefer shayftim. Va'omar b'mokim oven reisi oisem ochalim tikuim. A place where the goyim did not have any permanent standing. Hashem sent Osnil ben Kenaz, and Osnil ben Kenaz was able to wipe out Chushon Rish Osayim. Okay, then he goes further. Yirgazun, Yirgazun, Yirios, Eretz, Midyon, Rogzu, Oysam, Yirios, Rotzalomer, Olirios, Eretz, Midyon, Kioil, who preaches her Yirios. It's the same idea. A Yirio is like a tent. Rogzu, Kishabogidon, Alehem, and the people of Midyon were terrified when Gidon, our Shoifet, rose up against them. Kamosh Amar, Bachaloim, Tzilil, Lechem, Sa'irim, like it says there in the dream, whatever that refers to, v'omar v'nafal ha'oil, all right, period. The yesh mefarshim, okay, now I'm going to the other, going to another, the next image, on the next page, the next radak, on the next page. The Yesh Mefarshim, some explain, when it says here, Tachas Oven She'osisi, because of the sins that I have done, the sins that I have done. I was punished. This is what Rashi and the Targum says. Then they were terrified. When they worshipped Yisrael, an idol, Misartino and Hashem delivered us, Biyad Chushan Chayava, in the hands of Chushan the evil one, the Chadwen, Tavu Limebad Araisa, when we did Teshuvah and we fulfilled what it says in the Torah, then Avodit Lohoi Nisin Ugvuron, Hashem did for us miracles, Ufirak Tinun, He redeemed us, the Midyonim Ayde Gidon Bar Yosh. So in other words, over here, Rashi is telling us, over here, the Radak over here is telling us two perushim. The second perush of the Radak is what Rashi and the Targum says, and the first perush of the Radak is what I told you yesterday. I tried to read into the Mitzudus, which I think is wrong, which is the perush that we, at least the idea that we mentioned yesterday, is that when it talks about Chushan Mishasayim, it is not discussing our Averos. It is discussing a miracle, the miracle of Asnil ben Kenaz. Asnil ben Kenaz, he was our savior from the hands of Chushan Rishosayim. And that would mean that according to the Radak's Perish, both parts of this Pasuk are describing Hashem's miracles. The previous Pasuk taught us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he miraculously brought us into Eretz Yisrael through the Aron. The Aron led us, guided us into Eretz Yisrael. It divided the land, it wiped out our enemies. And after we settled in the land, Hashem continuously performed for us miracles. There were enemies who rose up against us, but for every enemy that came against us, Hashem provided us with a shofet, a leader that would save us. Who was enemy number one? Chushan Rishosayim. Who was our savior? Asnil ben Kenaz. Who was the second enemy the Pasuk mentions? The second enemy were the Midianim, who came into the land to bother us. And who saved us? Who saved us? The one that saved us was Husha, was Gidon. And that's what the Pasuk, that is what the Pasuk over here is saying. And the Pasuk over here is saying is, now who then is the Oven? Who then is the Oven? The Oven, according to this interpretation, is the sin of Chushan Rishosayim. Because of the sins, the attack of Chushan Rishosayim, what happened to them was I saw their tents, meaning, according to the Radak, they had no kiyum. Their castles, their palaces, their hamada, their standing in the land was transformed into a tent. What's going on? Mayor, what are you doing over here? Mayor, you're putting over here. Who's writing on the screen? Who's so clever to do this? Hello? Hello? Who's anyone there? Do you hear me?
Sorry, that's I did it.
You did?
Yeah, what's up? I will go away.
Okay, good. Okay, it's very good. You have put two stars. How do you know how to do all this fancy stuff? Okay, very
that
good.
That view, you see on the screen on top, when you put in a share screen, there is a name, view options, and there if you can use the drawing.
Okay, there.
Now I will erase.
There are view options. Where do you see this? Turn on. I see, okay. Okay, I see view options. Okay, annotate. Okay, wow, I never saw it. Very, very cool. Okay.
But that's on the PC.
Right. Okay, now my PC is working now. All of a sudden it started to work. I don't know why. What happened now? Annotate. And then you can, you can do text, mouse, draw. Psst, look at this, eraser, format. Unbelievable. So you can draw and you can go do something like this. You can doodle on the screen, everyone. And how do you get rid of it? How do you get rid of it? How do you undo it? How do you take it away? How do I undo my doodle? I don't know. I ruined it for everyone here. How do I undo what I just did? Clear. Clear all drawings. Okay, that's how you do it. All right, very cute. Thank you for sharing that with me. All right, so the bottom line over here is we have two perushim. Two perushim, what it means, chushan rishasayim. Two perushim, does it mean that our sins, because we did averois, Hashem. Hello? Oh, you don't hear me?
Later than this week.
Oh, you don't hear me. Okay, I'm sorry. You don't hear me. One second. All right, now you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking all this time. I didn't realize that you were not listening to me. Okay. I'm switching back and forth between the PC, a laptop, and a telephone and a phone because the internet connection in this room is very weak, and I still can't resolve what the issues are. Every day I struggle, but I think now I got it straight here, at least for the moment. For the moment. All right, so in any event, we have over here, the bottom line of the years, we have over here two basic mahalchim in this pasuk. We have a very important pasuk. The pasuk talks about chushan. Chushan is short for chushan rishosayim. And then it talks about gidoin and the midyanim. Everyone agrees, b'liyotzim naklal, that when we talk about gidoin and midyanim, it refers to the miracles that Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael. There is a debate between the Radak on one side and the Rashi and the Targum with the Metzudas on the other side. What is the thrust of the first half of the pasuk when it says Tachas Oven? Whose sin is this? The sin of Klal Yisrael, or is the Oven the sin of Chushan Rishosayim? Who is the sinner? According to Rashi, Targum Yonason here, and Radak in his second interpretation, the sin is the sin of the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael. Because we were sinners, Hashem sent against us to put us in our place and to cause us pain, this evil man, Chushan Rishosayim, who tormented us. And the entire story is presented in Sefer Shoftim. Rashi, and then when we did Teshuvah, years later, then Hashem sent Gidoin, and Gidoin did for us, was instrumental in bringing into this world great miracles to save us from a different enemy who has nothing to do with Chushan Rishosayim, the enemy of the Midyanim who attacked us in our land. According to the other interpretation, when it says Tachas Oven, the subject of Oven means the sin of Chushan Rishosayim. Chushan Rishosayim was a sinner. What was his sin? He tormented and harassed Klal Yisrael in our land. So what did Hashem do? Doesn't say at all in this pasuk. You have to inject all of this interpretation into the pasuk. Hashem sent Osniel ben Kenaz to our aid, to our rescue, and he did for us great miracles. And that approach, the entire pasuk from beginning to end, is discussing Hashem's kindness in doing for us miracles to save us from our enemies. Now let's,
By the way, when he says Tachat Aven,
yes,
stop. Tachat Aven, he brings two enemies. Enemy number one, Chushan,
okay.
And the second one is
The Midyanim. Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Even though Bnei Israel chatu, so he brings them one enemy and then the other enemy. And he brings them Moshiach right away. And after a few years, whatever, 20 years or whatever. But Tachat Aven, it's the beginning of including both of the enemies.
Okay, excellent. Okay, according to our sins, because of our sins, that like Rashi and Uncle and Targum, because of our sins, Hashem sent two enemies to attack us, Chushan Rishosayim and Midian. And then when we did Teshuvah, they were obliterated. They were terrified. Yirgizun. They were terrified, the tents of Chushan were terrified, and the Uriyos of Eretz Midian were terrified. Hashem sent us two saviors, Osniel ben Kenaz, to save us from Chushan.
You can see also they are temporary enemies.
Because the Ohel, the tent,
is, is temporary, and Yiriot is also Yiriot Ohel.
Also temporary.
Three years,
right.
Whatever the years were. And after that, Hashem saved us.
Right.
But they were not enemies for good. Like we have today, it's the Palestinians. It's
they're there a long time.
Already 70 years or 80 years or whatever. Actually, much more than that.
About Edom.
Those were they're temporary, a few years. And then he sent Otiel Ben Knaz, and then Gidon. And that it's a cycle. But Tachat Aven, that's it.
It's because of our sins. Our sins. Okay, now let's take a look at the Malbum. Let's look at the Malbum. The Geich is a young Malbum. We'll look over here. Tachas Aven. Okay, it's towards the top of the page. Okay, let's see if you can see it. I'm trying to I'm trying to bring it lower down. Okay, so on the screen, this is the Malbum. Tachas. Can you move it over a drop? Make it a little bit smaller. Okay, let's try like this. Tachas. Oven, how does he learn Shah in the Pasuk? Ata na maskal lefarish masha omar elo ka mi teimon yavoi. Shuhu masha yia kishu yavoi eis hagu'ula sh'oz yinoiseis neis lehis neis. What a beautiful expression. He takes the word yinoiseis. Neis lehis noises. A tripling of the word neis, which means a flag. It'll be the time when we will raise, Hashem will raise our banner. He will raise the banner of the Jewish people. This pasuk is now coming to describe according to the Malbum, not like anything we've learned so far. We're learning over here what's going to be at the time of the Geula, the times of Mashiach. And he begins to explain. Benisim v'niflois l'malim der chateva, great miracles. Umitzayer hascholas hanifloes mashi yoimar la asher b'choshech higolu. Okay, you join from Pasuk in Yeshaya that Hashem has sent us into Golus, which is called darkness. Tahainu shaseres hashvatim shehoglu me'ever la'nohar chush yoshuvu levit zoroin will return to beit zoroin. Now this is based upon an opinion the Gemara that the aseres hashvatim will return. Not everyone agrees to this idea. This is a very big dispute in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Will the Aseres Hashvatim, will they be Chayzer, will they return? He's now attempting to suggest that they will return. K'moy Shekosov, me'ever la'nahare chush, asorai bas putzai yevilu min chosi. Pasuk in Sefayim, we have not yet learned this pasuk. We'll learn it soon, that this person will bring a meal offering. And according to this interpretation, it refers to people who are part of the Aseres HaShvatim, who are living on the other side of Chush, of Kush. Who are these people? Some are going to try to tell you that these are the Ethiopians. Are they really? The B'nai Moshe? Who knows? Who knows who these people are? V'yaz yaskil oven v'shever livnei Chush shechem smuchim el hanidochim o'eleh. And it says something here that then will begin oven v'shever livnei Chush. The Kush, the Ethiopians, it's not really clear who Kush is. We often like to translate Kush loosely as Ethiopia. That's not necessarily correct.
There's another Kush.
Exactly.
There's another Kush.
Exactly.
The Hindu Kush.
Okay, the Hindus. And it's even more than that.
The Kush Mountains.
It's not at all clear exactly who's Kush.
Because that's the debate in the Megillah. Mehodu, the Ad Kush.
Ah. Was it on the other end of the world or was it nearby? Was Kush nearby or was Kush the other end of the world? So it says over here, V'oz yaskil oven v'shevel levnei chush shehem smuchim el hanidochim o'eleh u'misham. Okay, and then what's going to happen is Yetzu, he's telling us over here what's going to happen. I'm putting on the screen the other page, the next page, which I have here ready to go. Okay, V'oz, then what's going to happen is Yetzu Aseres Hashvatim Lilochem im Umois Yishmoel. Then a war will break out. A war will break out with the Aseres Hashvatim to fight against the Umas Yishmoel. Kiderech Artsois Yishmoel Yoshuvu Liartsam. Through the land of the Yishmaelim will the Aseres Hashvatim, who are on the other side of Chush, will they return to Eretz Yisrael. The al ze omar tachas oven reisi ole chushon. The ace at the time, shaholeh hakushim. He here tells us the word chushon has nothing to do with the past, with Chushan Rishosayim. That man that is mentioned in Sefer Shoftim, the Malbim says he got it all wrong. This pasuk has nothing to do with the past. We're coming to focus on the future in the times of Mashiach. We're focusing on the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim live in the vicinity of the land of Cush. And in the land of Cush is going to be some instability. There will be a war. Something's going to happen over there. And in the process of that instability, the Aseres HaShvatim are going to rise up and they're going to engage them. It's not clear exactly what this means, but in the process of this instability, they're going to leave the land that they are found, and they're going to make their way through the lands of the Arabs, of the Yishma'elim, to Eretz Yisrael. Tachas oven, re'isi olechushon, be'esh olechushim, yu tachas oven, v'shever. And oven here does not mean an avera. The Targum learned the word oven, if you remember one moment ago, is because we have done averos. We have worshipped idols. We were unfaithful to Hashem. We were punished by Hashem bringing upon us enemies. That's not what it means here. Oven means instability. Oven means war, chaos. During Tachas, during a period of time in history when there will be chaos in the land of Cush, the Jews will seek to escape the instability and the difficulties in their land. And where will they go? They will return to Eretz Yisrael. Tachas oven v'shever, at the time when there is chaos in the land of Cush, oz then, yirgizun, it will tremble, yirioiz, the tents, Eretz Midyan, she'eretz ha'yishma'elim, the land of the Arabs, kore Eretz Midyan. The Malbim here reveals a bombshell that the land, the Yishma'elim, are occupiers. They are occupiers. Not only are they occupiers of Eretz Yisrael, the Palestinians, the Yishma'elim, they're occupiers of the land of Midian. They do not belong in that land. They've stolen that land. Ki Yishma'elim nikra'im Midyanim, k'mo shekasuv, vayavru anoshim Midyanim, vayimkeru es Yosef la Yishma'elim, v'hamidonim. Then it says the Midonim. Machru oisol lepotifar to potifar. Now, what the Malbim here is saying a lot. First of all, we have to appreciate that according to many commentators, the word, the mid of this pasuk by Yosef, the midyonim are not the same as the midonim. If you look carefully at the pasuk, there are two different nations. There are midyonim, and then it says midonim. Midonim is not exactly the same as mid. Yo-nim. There is an extra yud after the dalet. There's an extra letter. So if I remember correctly, many commentators are of the opinion they're different nations. And just because their letters are very, very similar, don't be misled. Don't be misled to think that it's all the same. They're two different nations. Yosef was sold multiple times before he went was taken down to Egypt. It's like today people who work in internet security, if you want to maintain your privacy, so the technique is to pass your information through multiple servers. When one computer speaks with another computer, it's usually direct to save time. But if you don't want to be traced, if you want to protect yourself from being traced, so then you go through a whole maze. If I want to send a message to my next door neighbor, well, I send the message first to Australia, and from Australia it goes to a server in Yugoslavia. From Yugoslavia it goes to Russia, and from Russia it goes to Syria. From Syria it goes to China. From China it goes to Canada, from Canada goes back to Russia, and then from Russia comes to my next door neighbor. So now if my next door neighbor wants to know who sent me this message, who is the anonymous person that sent me such a nasty message, well, let me go trace it. And he begins to trace and he sees that it came from Russia. That's all he has. He then has to go to Russia and ask them, can you do me a toiva? Can you tell me who sent you this message? And they say, well, we got this message from Yugoslavia. And then you have to go to Yugoslavia and you have to ask them, can you tell us where we got it from? You got it from? And they say, we're not telling you. We're not your friends. The more stop-off points, the more difficult it is to trace a packet of information. That is exactly what happened with Mechiras Yosef. Yosef was sold multiple times. The brothers, it says they saw Vayavra Noshim Midyonim. But then it goes on to say that the Midyonim, they purchased him and they sold him to the Yishmaelim, or okay, you have to go to the Psukim. And one of the nations mentioned there is the Hamidonim. And many of us make a mistake to think that the Midonim are the same exact thing as the Midyonim, and there's some verbosity repetition in the Pasuk that is not necessarily correct. It could very well be that the Midonim are not the same as the Midyonim, and there were multiple nations involved in the sale and the transfer of Yosef, how he ultimately ended up in the hands of the Egyptians to Potiphar, and that's why it made it very difficult for the brothers to find him exactly where did their brother go. Because they sold him to one person, and then they had to track down who that person sold him to, and then they had to track down who that person sold him to. And it took them a lot of effort to try to figure out where Yosef ultimately went, and it could be they did not even know. The Malbum does not seem to suggest that. The Malbum seems to say that the Midonim and the Midyonim are exactly the same, and it's telling us not to be fooled, not to be disturbed by the fact that one nation has a Yud, one nation is lacking the Yud. That's what he says, because over here it says the Yishmaelim are called Midyon, ki Yishmaelim nikra Midyonim, k'mo shekasev vayavru b'anosh Midyonim. And then he goes on to say, nochmol v'hamidyonim machu reisau, v'chein amal Midyon, ki Yishmaelim him. There's another pasuk in Shoftim, they're called Yishmaelim, haynu, sheyirguzu artzois b'nei Yishmael, ki b'mulchamois tenufa yilachamu bom, in a milchama of tenufa, b'mulchamois tenufa. I don't know what that means. I don't know what this expression means. This is a complicated expression. Tenuf means to wave. It means maybe a series of wars. There will be, at the time of Yimos HaMashiach, a series of wars that will take place among the nation, among the Arab lands. And who is going to be the collateral damage? The Aseres HaShvatim, who are living in the region of the Kushim. And what are they going to do? They want to get out of there. They're tired of being suffering from of the chaos, instability of what is taking place, and they're going to leave, and they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. So this is an incredible chiddush, something extremely different than what it says in the Targum, and what it says in Rashi, and what it says in the Radak. First thing to appreciate is that according to the Malbim, we are not discussing the past. We are discussing an event that has not yet happened. We're not discussing Chushon, does not mean Chushon Rishosayim, who is mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. When it says Midyon, we're not discussing Gidoin, who fought against the Midyonim. Forget it, that's over. That's ancient history. We're discussing the future. Chushon is a code word for Eretz Kush. What is the significance of Eretz Kush? That is where the Aseres HaShvatim are hiding today. They're there. What does that mean exactly? They're there, the Eretz the Kushim. What does that mean? Seemingly there's no place in this world that we don't know about. We've uncovered today with technology every last corner of the earth. If the Kushim were there, if the Aseres HaShvatim were there, we would know about it. So what does this mean? I have no idea. Someone has suggested it's not true. There are parts of the world, there are civilizations. Can you believe this? This is science fiction, conspiracy theories. There's parts of the world out there that are concealed from our knowledge. There are civilizations, advanced civilizations, not on other planets. We are worried about UFOs. We're worried about life on other galaxies, planets, somewhere very, very far away. Guess what? Maybe there is intelligent life on this world, an earth that we do not know about, that has not yet been discovered. Where are they? I don't know. It seems to say, according to the Malbim, it seems to say they're there somewhere. Someone once told me that it means they're underground. There are caves, and there are tunnels, and there is an unknown world underground. Hard for me to believe this. very, very hard, but who knows? There are a lot of things I never thought in my life I would ever imagine, and I was shocked to discover that I was dead wrong. Who knows what's out there in this world? It says there are people, the Aseres HaShvatim are hiding behind the area of Kush, and when Kush will enter into a state of instability, they will seek to escape, and they will come to Eretz Yisrael. And when it says here Chushan, it's a code word for Eretz Kush. When it says Midian, Midian is a code word for the Arab lands, the Eretz Yishmael. Eretz Yishmael is synonymous with Midian. And read the pasuk one more time. Tachat an oven. Oven does not mean averoi, sins. Oven means instability. Tachas oven. We're now describing the times of Mashiach when there will be instability in this world. And tachas, under the cover of instability, Ro'isi Chavakuk says, I see in a vision, Ohalei Chushan, I see the tents of the people of the Aseres HaShvatim who are living in that region. I see Yirgizun, I see them in motion. Yirgizun means trembling. There is instability, and that instability caused them to tremble, and the trembling results in their relocation back home in Eretz Yisrael, the Yirioys, the tents of Eretz Midian, the Jews, our brethren, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, who are living in the lands of the Yishmaelim, called the lands of Midian. Maybe someone can come along and tell us that this refers to the Yemenite Jews. Someone can tell us this refers to the Ethiopian Jews. Someone can tell us this refers to the B'nai Menashe, who are also living in Ethiopia. Who knows? Who knows what all of this means? Maybe it's none of the above. Maybe we have yet to discover new things that we have not aware of. Who knows what all of this means? But it's definitely a very radical approach to this pasuk. Not like
the Yemenite Jews went out with the regular galus. Yemenite Jews are not from the Aseres HaShvatim.
Okay, I don't know, you're right. Okay, I stand corrected. I know nothing about this. But obviously, it's a very big mystery. What exactly happened to the Aseres HaShvatim? Where did they go? Are they the Indians in America? Where did they go? How could 10 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael just disappear off the face of the earth? They assimilated? Where did they go? It's a very, very big mystery, and according to the Malbim is telling, and there's a machlokes in the Gemara, will the Aseres HaShvatim, will they return? Some say they already returned. Yirmiyah went to return the Aseres HaShvatim, he brought them back, or at least a significant number of them. The Gemara, on the other hand, seems to indicate that they will never return. And here the Malbim says they certainly will return. We're going to learn Tzafanya soon. And in Tzafanya it says they're very clearly they will return. And here he wants to tie this into the story. Okay, now we're going to take a look. Okay, we did pretty much. There is a gra. Okay, let's leave the gra out for now, and let's just move forward. Okay, is a Sipurno. What is a Sipurno? What is the Sipurno over here referring to? Let me look at the Sipurno. Where did that Sipurno come in over here? How did it get here? That's really later on. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further to Pasuk Ches. Okay, I'm going back to the text, Pasuk Ches. Hanivharim. What happened over here? Oops. Okay. Let me put you back on the screen. I can see everyone in one shot. Okay, Baruch Hashem. I can see that everyone in the shir, except for Rav Kalman, is camera shy.
I'm there.
You're the only one that's not camera shy. Everyone else here is camera shy. It's fine. Let's go further. Haniv Havinharim. Oh, everyone now is appearing. All of a sudden, everyone is coming out of hiding. Look at this.
You're a magician.
Everyone is coming out of hiding.
I'm saving power.
You're saving power, okay. Havin harim choru Hashem. Im banu harim apecha. In Bayom Evrosecha, he sirkav al susecha makvosecha Yeshua. This pasuk is describing the splitting of three bodies of water. Pasuk says the word vinharim is a word that is very similar to the word niharim, but it's not the same. It's a body of water. And this body of water has split, has stopped. Why did it stop? Is it because Hashem is angry? Period. Question number two. Im banaharim apecha. There's another body of water, a river, that has stopped. Why? Is it because you're angry, Hashem? And the third question is, im bayom ev rosecha, a third body of water called bayom, is it also, is it subject to your evra? Question mark. Three questions. And the answer to all three questions is absolutely not. Hashem is not angry. Instead, Hashem is revealing himself. He's bringing salvation to the world. And that's why these three bodies of water have stopped. Ki sirkav, Hashem is riding. You, Hashem, are riding al susecha. Hashem has a horse. Did you know that? That Hashem has a horse. Hashem does not drive a Cadillac. He does not drive a Mercedes. He does not drive, does not take Uber. Hashem is old-fashioned. Hashem rides on horses. Al susecha, markavosecha, Yeshua. Hashem has the old-fashioned chariots that are in the museums. Doesn't have all-wheel drive, no shock absorbers, none of that stuff.
It has horsepower.
It has horsepower, but it doesn't have all of the gadgets. There's no air conditioning. There's no heat. There's no GPS. All of the creature comforts. There are no leather seats with heating and air conditioning. None of the above. Old-fashioned. Bnei Shloim from the old-timers. He rides on a horse. He has his old jalopy chariots whose wheels squeak. The Ribbono Shelolem is coming to bring the Geula. He comes on his horse and his chariot. And that is why it appears that the rivers, these three bodies of water, are behaving strangely. And there's a lot to discuss in this pasuk. First of all, let's dissect the pasuk before we read in the parasha. First of all, take note that there are three bodies of water. That right away is very challenging because in our understanding, only twice did a body of water split. It split Kriyas Yam. It was Kriyas Yamsuf. And number two, the Yarden. When the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, the Yarden split in the time of Yehoshua. And there's so many Mamori Chazal that analyze the difference between the splitting of the Yarden, the Yarden, when we cross the Yarden, and the crossing of the Yam. You can write books on this topic. To analyze all the details, the difference between these two bodies of water, the Yarden and the Yam, and exactly what happened when we passed through these two bodies of water. But what's the third body of water that's mentioned over here? This pasuk mentions something called the Vinharim. Whoever heard of this word before? Vinharim, Nahar, Nun Hey Resh. That's what we're used to. What's the Beis doing here? What's the Hey doing here? The Hey is a Hatania, is the question. Is the Hey Hatania? But what's the Beis? A prefix? Havin Harim, Choro Hashem. And then it repeats itself. Im Ba Niharim. Okay, that makes more sense. Ba Niharim. Apech, the Nahar, we just have one prefix, the Beis, and then it says Imbayam. Three bodies of water, the Vinharim, the Niharim, and the Yam. Three bodies of water. Number two, three expressions of anger. Charoin, Achora, Chora. Number two, Af, Apecha. Number three, Evra. Three different terms that in our language mean the same thing. When Hashem is angry, get out of his way. He's angry. What's the difference between Hashem's charoin, his choro Hashem, versus Hashem's af apecha, versus Hashem's evra? I don't know. We probably learned this many times. There are different meanings, but I forgot. Three different expressions of anger. And we're matching up Chora to Vinharim, Apecha to Banaharim, and Evrasecha to Yom. And then what is the answer? The answer is Hashem is not angry. He's not angry. Hashem is arriving. That itself is a very powerful, even before you look at the end of the Mefarshim, is a powerful Limud Hamusa, because in this world, things happen. Things happen, and to the observer, it appears that there's something wrong. Something is not right. There is anger. Hashem is angry, and it's not true. Hashem is not angry. Hashem is very happy. Hashem is coming. And when Hashem comes, things happen. It looks to the observer as if Hashem is happy, but the truth is Hashem is not angry. Everything is fine and good. Everything is going according to plan. To us, it seems like Hashem is angry, but Hashem is not angry. The answer to the question is, Ki sirkav al susecha. You're riding on your horses. Markavay secha, upon your chariots, you're riding in order to bring to this world salvation. Okay, that's just a basic observation in the reading of the pasuk. Now let's see the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David pasuk Ches begins. Havin harim chora Hashem. What is this pasuk referring to in his interpretation? The three rivers. Kishakora hamokam esayardin lifnei Yisrael. When Hashem split the Yarden. When did Hashem split the Yarden? When we entered into the Holy Land on the 10th day of Nisan, on the anniversary of Shabbos HaGadol. That's a very critical point. Hashem, the 10th day of Nisan, on that day, two major events took place. Event number one, Hashem, we, Klal Yisrael, we took the idol of the Egyptians, the Seh, and we tied it to our bedpost. And we told the Egyptians, guess what? In 5 days from now, in 4 days from now, we will take your idol and we will slaughter it. And we'll roast it and eat it. That courage that the Jewish people demonstrated took place on the 10th day of Nisan. That was suicide. To provoke the Egyptians by taking their idol and tying it to their bed and making this declaration would inspire riots. And even all the king's horses and all the king's men, even 38,000 NYPD strong, could not protect us from the looting and the rioting and the nastiness of the Egyptians in trying to kill us for the chutzpah of taking their idol and tying it to our beds and declaring that in 4 days from now we're going to slaughter it and we're going to roast it and we're going to eat it. We have no clue how provocative this act was. We read these psukim, we think, big deal, big deal. You have a hamster in your backyard, you put it, bring it into the house, big deal. This was the extreme act of chutzpah. This is provocative to an extreme, to take their idol in public and tie it to our beds and make this declaration. And the expectation was they would kill us on the spot. And yet it was a day of great miracles where HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the shots and did not allow them to touch us. It was a day of miracle, a miracle day for Klal Yisrael, the 10th day of Nisan. This, another miracle happened on this day of Nisan, and that was the splitting of the Yam. The Yarden split on this day. Now, I want to just make a point. Do you know any other day on the calendar, the Jewish calendar, that you can document in Tanakh two miracles? We can document miracles on many days of the Jewish year. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, the Makos. You can go down the line. The Eish Menash Shemayim came down on the first day of Nisan. Study Tanakh, get a PhD in this topic of mapping miracles to calendar days. I challenge you, though, to find a day in the Jewish calendar where you can show me in Tanakh, in the Bible, in Tanakh, two miracles happening on that same day. Now, I know Rabbi Chol is looking at me and telling me, what about Lel Pesach? Lel Pesach, that's right, in a Chanami, Lel Pesach, you can probably find multiple miracles in a Chanami. Chatzais Laila, there were multiple miracles that happened at that moment in time. Avram Avinu, the Muhammad, the four kings and the five kings took place on the Chatzais of the day 15. And that was the moment of Chizkiyahu, Yitzias Mitzray, Makas Bechorais, Esther, the miracle, Purim, took place then. Okay, there's a long list of miracles indeed that did take place. Vayibachatzi halayla. It's the piyut that we recite on Lil Pesach. But put that aside, besides that day, Chatzis Laila, is there any other day where you can map two miracles? I'm not so sure. The notable exception is the 10th day of Nisan. The 10th day of Nisan, Chazal make it very clear, Shabbos HaGadol was a nes. It was a nes where Hashem protected us from the onslaught that should have happened when we provoked the Egyptians by taking their idol and tying it to our bed and expecting nothing to happen to us. And the second miracle was the splitting of the Yam. The Yam miraculously, then the Yarden stopped flowing downstream in order to allow us to pass into Eretz Yisrael. Two miracles. Is there a relationship between these two miracles? A connection? There must be. But these two miracles happened on this day. And that is what the Pasuk is referring to. Hazin Harim, Choro Hashem. Why did the flow of the river stop? Is it because Hashem is angry? Back to the Mitzvah David. Kishakara hamokoim esayardin lifnei Yisrael v'chichara apoik boi lahachariv meimav bitmiya. The next words, im abana harim ku kefal inyin l'chizuk. So here the Mitzvah...
There was another miracle.
Yeah.
Hashem was angry about water. That was the thing. Abin Harim and the Yeorim, Yeorim, and everything became blood. And Hashem was angry at that?
Okay, interesting. Very good.
Then goes Yamsuf, and then goes Yarden.
Very good, I like that. So you're saying that you want to suggest that the third act of anger was when the Nile turned red. Makastam.
That was the first one.
The first one.
Which is Vinharim.
Vinharim. I like that. Okay, very good. That very good. Nice. Very nice. I like that. I like it. It sounds great. This is good. You got to put this in the Sefer. This is good. The Mitzudas David for the moment, he doesn't say that. The Mitzudas David, he says there's just poetic repetition. The Vinharim, Choro Hashem, is the same thing as the Nehorim, Apecha. Same thing. And we're referring to the Yarden when we came into Eretz Yisrael. Hu kefel inyon lichizuk. Next part of the Pasuk. Im bayom evrosecha. We're going backwards in time. We're going back to Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Yam split. Kishakara esayom v'chinismali olav evra lahachariv meimav. Was Hashem angry to dry up its waters? We're going back in time. What's the answer to the questions? The answer is no. Hashem is not angry. It may look like Hashem is angry, but the MS is Hashem is bringing miracles for us. Kisirkav ela. The MS is shahoisa. Hasiba lefi she rochafta al susecha b'markav osecha shel Yeshua. You were riding upon your horse in the chariot of salvation to save le'amecha. U'lechein therefore bekatam lelechas derecha bekia. You split the yam. U'inin melitza loyma shezen na'asa b'avur teshuas Yisrael. It was done in order for the salvation of the Jewish people. Okay, that is the Perush HaPasik, the Pshu Shalmeko, according to the Perush of the Mitzvah Stavit. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Ches, Havin Harim, Yesh, Tamiyos, Miskaimos, there are questions that remain unanswered. Haroinu Shekol Ele Osa, Haroinu, have we seen, Haroinu Shekol Ele Osa, Uperish HaMikra Kitarguma. Rashi gives us a marimakom. I'm not going to tell you. Let's look at the Targum. Let's read the words of the Targum. Pasuk Ches. Ha al malchin umashir yoshoin disagioin. The kings, the word zin harim, according to the Targum, is a metaphor for the mighty kings of Canaan. Al Malkin Umashir Yoshoin and their servants, disagiin that are mighty and powerful, Kimei Nahara Hava, Rogaz Min Kadama Hashem, before you Hashem, your anger flared up against these mighty powers in this world. Al Malchayo Have Rugzach, against the kings, this repetition, against the kings there was anger. And in the Yam, did you make it known the punishment of your might? So when you revealed Al Merkivas Yikaroch, when you revealed yourself on your Merkava, on your chariot, Hashem is always described traveling in a Merkava, the Yikaroch Shechintach, your precious divine presence, le'amoch, to your nation, to koif, your mighty nation, uforkan, and your salvation. Okay, so the gist of the pasuk, this is not a question. See, Rashi is coming to address the word im. What does the word im in this pasuk mean? Rashi says, yesh temihois miskaimois. There are temihois, wondrous things that endure. And what are they? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed himself and punished our enemies over and over again in our history. The Timiyos does not mean a question. It means a wondrous event. What are the wondrous events? The wondrous events are Hashem punished our enemies. Who are our enemies? The mighty kings and powers of this world. So we go back to the pasuk and we will translate the pasuk according to the Targum. Havin harim chora Hashem. Is it not true that Hashem has shown his anger against the mighty kings and servants of this world? Im banu harim apecha. Is it not true that Hashem has revealed himself and against, again, it's like a repetition, against the servants? Im bayom erosecha. Is it not true that Hashem in the Yam, Kriyas Yamsuf, when Hashem destroyed the Egyptians, that Hashem revealed himself? Absolutely, this is true. Hashem has revealed himself when he punished our enemies, when Ki Sirkaf, when he rode, when you rode Al Susecha, Markivosecha, Yeshua, your chariot and your carriage, when you have come to bring for the Jewish people salvation. Indeed, when you've come to save us, you revealed yourself and you obliterated our enemies that are compared to the mighty waters of the world. A river is something which has power, has might. It's not for nothing that today we draw power, most of our electricity in New York. Right now, everyone is being powered. Everyone over here is on some power, right? In order to log in, you have to be plugged into some source of energy. Where is the energy coming from? Niagara Falls. almost everyone over here that is powered up, it's very likely that you're receiving your juice from Niagara Falls. What's Niagara Falls? Water. Water has enormous force and power. And we take advantage of that power and we convert it into electricity, generators, dams, v'chulu v'chulu. And that powers a good part of the East Coast. A good section of the East Coast of the United States of America is powered by the generators that are operating through the power of Niagara Falls. Comes from Canada. The United States is paying Canada for electricity. So water is considered to be a metaphor for power, energy. And Hashem says, Hashem has destroyed the enemies, the powerful enemies of the Jewish people. When has he done so? At the time of his liking, when he wants to bring for Klal Yisrael salvation. This is seemingly how the Targum is translating these words. Let's read the Targum one more time. We'll try to read the Targum to clarify it one more time. Pasuk Ches, inside again. Ha, is it not so? Al Malchin. Malchin means a king. Umashir Yosoin, and their ministers. Disagi'in, that are mighty. Kimei Nahara, like the waters of the river. Hava, did it happen? Was it shown? Regaz, the anger, min kadamach Hashem. Regaz, min, where do we stop? Hava, regaz. Let's put a period over there. And then it goes on to say a second time, min kadamach Hashem, from before you Hashem, what was there? Al malchaya, hava, rugza. Was there anger against the kings? Repetition. Uviyama, and in the Yam, referring to the Yamsuf, going back to the time of Paro, Hoidata v'hoin puranus, you made known to the world your ability to punish through the Guvrusach, your might. When does Hashem punish the world? When he wants to bring salvation to the Jewish people. Arei, when iskilesa, it is revealed. You are revealed al merkavas yikarach shechintach, on your chariot, your glorious chariot that represents your divine presence, la'amach, to your nation, to koif, power, ufurkan, and redemption. Rashi just tells us, take a look at that pasuk, takes a look at that pasuk, markavasech lanu Yeshua, on your chariot, when you come into Yeshua, he draws us in that direction. Okay, well now we have to do the Radak, but we're out of time, so we're going to leave the Radak for tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're going to pick up Pasuk Ches with the Radak and go on to all the other Mefarshim. All right, we'll take a short break. I want to talk about two Rabbi topics.
Levine. Yep. Rabbi Levine, hi. Why does Rashi have to say, Makabosech, Alonu Yeshua? It might be thought that Yeshua is for somebody else?
Maybe, because the Pasuk doesn't say who the salvation is for. Maybe Hashem is coming to say, yeah, exactly. Makvasecha Yeshua for us. How do you know that's the pshat? I guess from the context of the entire parak, Chavakuk is describing Hashem's salvation for the Jewish people. So the Rashi does not want to forget that. So he injects that when it's Lanu Yeshua, let's not lose focus that this pasuk is part of a sequence of psukim that are describing the salvation that Hashem is bringing for Klal Yisrael. Lanu Yeshua. All right, we're going to take a break now. I want to talk about two topics. After the break, I want to talk about the topic of Roiv, Bittul B'Roiv. Bittul B'Roiv plays out in this week's parasha in the Sugya of Nazir. I'll show you how. I want to talk about the Lumbus of Roiv, and then I want to continue. I want to mention, yesterday we had a very interesting topic about introductions, Hakdamas, and I presented you a very Choshev Sefer, and I want to go through some of the ideas, some of the Yesoidos of introduction that this Mechaber has presented for different topics. Chumash, Shas, yeah.
Not visible, Rabbi Levine, you're not visible on the screen at all.
Okay, voice, thank you for telling me.
But not the video.
Okay, let me figure out what's going on. Okay, thank you for telling me. Okay, let's take a short break and I'll try to fix this during the break. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Thank you for telling me.